Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 163, the first two stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face. Within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows in 1 and 2 of Psalter 163. Thank you. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 18 through 35. Luke 13, verses 18 through 35. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 13, beginning with verse 18. Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Chad Outsorn, who was taken to the hospital in Calgary in this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art not only he that seeth everything in this world, but also he that hast decreed it, and he who dost govern everything to a certain and determinate end. We try to draw nigh to thee in this morning. Wilt thou supply for us in all our needs, and then we try to lay before thee also that little child who was brought in this morning to the hospital once again. Wilt thou give wisdom to the doctors, and wilt thou raise him up again? Thou knowest all that takes place in his body. Lord, wilt thou give health and strength to him again? And could it please thee to bless all the efforts that are put forth on his behalf, and strengthen his parents in all these ways? But wilt thou teach each and every one of us that our bodies, they are frail beings, and that we in our father Adam have sinned, and therefore we are born in order that we might die, And so we go to our long home, each and every one of us, with the callings that are coming to us, callings in our own bodies, sicknesses, weaknesses, frailties of the body and of the mind that speak to us and that say unto us that we have here no continuing city, and callings that do come from all those that are about us. And when this one and that one are falling away, callings that come to us in this world, when nature itself does tremble under the iniquity and the sin of man, callings to us and our children out of thy holy word. And thou knowest that by nature all the callings, they have no place in our heart. Then there is no fruit upon them. We may tremble for a moment, and then it is finished, and we go on again. And Lord, thou knowest that we come to gather in this morning, and that there is for us and for our children only one hope, that there is for us only one expectation. It lieth not in the power of a man, because it is not charging steeds, and it is not warlike hosts, but it is in the power of thy Holy Spirit. It is in that still, small voice wherein thou speakest unto a man, a child, an old one, a young one, and wherein thou grantest a new birth. Oh, it is alone in the sanctifying influence of thy Holy Spirit to grant that new life from the dead, and to bring us again into that blessed favor and communion with our Maker. Lord, this is, in this morning hour, our only hope and expectation. And therefore we begin with the calling upon thy holy name to ask of thee that when we may be present together, that thou also may come among us, and that thou with thy Holy Spirit may go from heart to heart amongst us to grant unto us what we cannot and what we will never choose for ourselves, being dead in trespasses and in sins. O our eye that looketh, O Lord, unto thee, in whom is all power in heaven and in earth, and who has given thine only begotten Son expressly for this purpose, that he might come to seek and to save that which is lost. And Lord, wilt thou show it then in this morning, that thou in this day, in the day that we live with our children, art still. And when thou art at the right hand of thy Father, that thou art still doing this work by the preaching of thy holy word, to bring it into the heart of sinners, to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that the cry and may be born in this world, that we may be delivered from that great pit of misery wherein we have brought ourselves and our father Adam. O Lord, we look upon to thee, from whom all our help must come, also in the preaching, to make it to us a simple task that we may but have to open our mouth, and that thou wouldst do as thou hast promised to put thy words therein, that it may be a word that has been reserved for this moment, the moment that thou hast brought this one or that one up in the house of God, so that that moment of thy good pleasure may be here in this morning hour. Lord, we beseech it of thee. We are from our side unworthy of the least of all thy notice and all thy attention. And it is not in each and any one of us in this morning hour, that thou canst look upon us for some reason that lies in us, not for all our religion, not for all our praying, not for all our reading, for all our righteousnesses. They are as filthy rags, but there is such a worthiness to be found in thy only begotten Son. And thou didst declare it in that day when thou didst raise him from the dead, that thou didst say that it is enough, and that that it was a price that was so completely paid to the satisfaction of the justice of God. Oh, how possible then, how possible then for us and our children, though that we have oft sinned against thee, O take reasons then out of thyself to visit us in this morning hour, and to look upon us while we are in our own blood cast out in the open field. And there is no worthiness also in the life of thy own children, for thou knowest what they are too, that they have left thee days without number, and they have played the harlot with many lovers. Oh, they have under every green tree, and in every grove they have sought the gods of this world. Lord, thou knowest that they can depart from thee so easy, but they are not able to return again. O come then, O thou great shepherd of thy flock, and wilt thou bring again, O call those forth who know thy name, and that they may hear thy voice, that they might follow thee again, and that with weeping and with supplications they may be brought again, that thy church may be revived, that the broken walls may be built up again, and so thou may be in the midst of thy people, when sin may be put away, and their hearts may turn again unto thee. Oh, we beseech it of thee, take reasons out of thyself, look on us, and all our loved ones, and all our needs and cares of this life, all that are not able to be with us in this morning, wilt thou bless them in whatever place they may be on thy day, and wilt thou look upon widows, widowers, and orphans, and all those that suffer distresses and needs in this world, those that are abused in mind or in body, oh, that thou may supply from above in all the misery that is experienced in this life. Turn us from all our iniquities. Strengthen thy servants this day over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Oh, that thou may stand on their right and on their left. And when men do persecute for the sake of thy name and thy truth, that thou mayest stand on the right hand and on the left, and that thou mayest give a token of thy favor and of thy communion and of thy presence. Take us, O Lord, by heart and by hand and in mercy, and give us liberty. O give us clearness also for the little children, that this day may be profitable for our souls. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 228, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts, in mercy my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our fathers, God, give ear. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 228, and we make the second wedding announcement of Garrett Bredeweg and Lisa Rulofsen on Friday, February 12th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. The last collection today is for our school. Congregation, we ask your attention in this morning for the words of our text, which can be found in the portion that was read to you, Luke 13, and thereof the 24th verse. Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. So far the words of our text. Striving to enter in. First, what it means to enter in. And second, what it means to strive to enter in. Striving to enter in. First, what it means to enter in. Second, what it means to strive to enter in. Strive to enter in. What does that mean, congregation? That means we are without. Because if we were not without, that then we would not have to strive that we may come within. Thus, what does the Lord Jesus speak about here when he speaks about entering in? That is, entering into what? Or entering into where? We read later on that he speaks about the kingdom of God. He says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Thus, when he speaks about entering in, and then he speaks about entering in unto the kingdom of God. Does that mean then that he speaks about entering in unto heaven? That is not so. The Lord Jesus elsewhere, he speaks and he says that the kingdom of God is within you. Thus, there may be much seeking, there may be much striving to enter into heaven. We can read it also in this chapter of those who will strive to enter into heaven. But that is not a striving to enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, the kingdom of God, what is this? This is not just merely the external church. It is not merely an external profession of religion. No, because we read of the Pharisees that they also had such an external profession, but they were not in the kingdom of God. No, the Lord Jesus says the opposite. He says that they are of their father, the devil. Thus, the Lord Jesus does not speak merely of heaven. The Lord Jesus does not speak merely of the external church. The external church that is so very, very important. The external church is an institution of God Himself, but it cannot be equated one and the same with the kingdom of God. What did the Lord Jesus say to Pilate? He says, my kingdom is not from hence. Thus, of what does the Lord Jesus speak? Strive to enter in. Then he speaks about something that is much deeper than an external profession. Then he speaks about something that is much deeper than simply an eternal enjoying of an heavenly bliss. But when he speaks about entering in, then he speaks about entering into the favor of God. He speaks about entering into the communion with the Lord. Thus, it has to do with our relation to God. How is it between God and our own soul? Strive to enter in. What does that mean? It means that we are without. Otherwise, we do not need to enter in. Were we created without? Children, do you know? You know we were not created without. We were not created without the favor of the Lord. We were not created without the communion with the Lord. How do we know that? We know that the Lord, He spoke to Adam. And when He made him, when He placed him in that garden, and then the Lord communed with Adam day by day. And it was by his obedience that Adam would have earned for himself an eternal right to remain in that blessed favor and that communion with the Lord. There was nothing in that whole nature of Adam that did come against this. That was all his desire. That was all his ability. That was all his intention. But it did not last very long. Soon a very great change came. And by what means? By the means of sin. Sin is what makes separation. Did Adam feel this? Oh, sin is what has broken that relationship. It is sin by which Adam has felt and experienced that he has lost the favor with God. Immediately, we read that Adam now feared the Lord. Immediately we read that Adam, he is now fleeing from the Lord when the Lord is coming unto him. That favor with God that is so completely lost because of sin. And it is the communion with the Lord that was broken because of sin. Did not Adam feel this? Did not Adam experience this? That when the Lord is coming, that he is no longer able to commune with Adam as before, and he has to send him out of the garden, and that angel is placed there to keep the way of that tree of life. Oh, sin. Sin that has brought havoc. Sin that has broken the communion. By sin, man has lost that blessed favor of the Lord. It is by sin that man, is now standing not within, but that he is standing without. And that has now become the state of every man as he is born into this world. Every one of that posterity of Adam, no more within, but standing without. What does Paul say? He says, without God, having no hope in this world. Do you ever feel it? Is it ever your burden? Strive to enter in. Congregation, what a wonder are those few words. Strive to enter in. And why are those words such a wonder? What do those few words contain? Those few words, they contain the message of the entire Word of God. Those few words, they contain the message of the entire gospel that we can read in God's Word. It is by those few words that man who is lost, man who is without, man who has sinned, man for whom it has become a burden, that he may receive a little hope. Strive to enter in. That means that the Lord is declaring unto man that though he is standing without, that there is still a possibility of entering in again. Is that not the message of the entire Word of God? Is that not what brings us to God's house week by week? Is that not what brings us to read and to search in the Holy Scriptures? That there is a possibility again to enter in, though that we have brought ourselves on the outside? Is that not the message of that blessed doctrine of election? Or is that not the hope in election? Though that man has sinned against the Lord, though that man is lying dead in trespasses and sins, or even though that man has departed so far that the Lord says, I am not going to leave the entire human race to perish in their misery, but I have chosen a people unto myself, and therefore I declare unto you, strive to enter in, O sin, yes, that has broken that communion, sin that has broken that covenant. But I have made a way again where it is possible again to enter in. Strive to enter in. What are then some of the greatest hindrances to entering in? Well, congregation, one of the greatest hindrances to entering in is that we do not believe that we are without. When we do not believe that we are without, then how will a man ever come to seek that he may enter in? Then we will never seek for this. We will never ask for this. And is not this the case of multitudes that are in this world? With a form of religion, with many good deeds, but do not believe that we are in a lost state and condition? Doing many, many good things. Oh, and believing that man, yes, he needs a reform. He needs a reform. We have to do better. But he does not believe that he is actually standing without, and that a very, very great change needs to take place, that he needs to come from without to within. That is one of the greatest hindrances to man, that he will never seek to come within. Why? Because the Lord Jesus says, the whole need not a physician. What is another hindrance to coming in? Because many indeed believe it. Many indeed believe it with a historical faith, and we hope that that is the case with everyone also in our midst, that we are standing by nature without. But historical faith does not move us. Yes, we believe that we are standing without, but it is not our burden. It is not our grief. And there is nothing that moves us that we may seek and that we may strive to enter in again. So it was also with this man that came to the Lord Jesus. And he comes to the Lord Jesus with a question. And he says, are there few that be saved? Oh, how many unprofitable questions is it not possible to ask all about the subject of religion? And we can go from the cradle to the grave. And we can ask and we can speak about so many things all around this one subject. And still go lost. The Lord Jesus does not answer him. Does his question have an answer? Yes, his question has an answer. The Lord Jesus says that elsewhere. He says, many are called, few are chosen. But the Lord Jesus does not say this to this man. Because when the Lord has said this, he has not said it that he may satisfy the curiosity of a man. The Lord did not say this in order and that he may show to man, reveal to man those things that are secret and those things that are hidden from man. Concerning how many are going to be saved. Now, what does the Lord Jesus do now to this man? He does not satisfy his curiosity. Are there few that be saved? No. But he completely redirects this man to show him that there is something that is so much more important for him. And the Lord Jesus becomes so very personal with this man. He says, man, you can speak all about it. All about those who are entering in. But he says, now what about yourself? He says, You, a man, you must enter in yourself. Congregation, did the Lord ever show this to us? Did the Lord ever lay this upon us as our burden? That not only our neighbor know, but that I myself have a soul. That I myself am standing without, that I myself need to enter in, strive to enter in. Where do we find those in the Word of God who saw, who felt that they were standing without, and who so needed and desired that they also may enter in? Or do we not see this in Rahab the harlot? Do we not hear in her own soul what is the burden of her heart? Then she says unto the spies, the Lord, your God, he is Lord in heaven, and he is Lord in the earth. The Lord your God. Swear unto me that you will show kindness unto my father's house. Give me a true token because I am standing without. Oh, if I only also could enter in. Do we not see this in a Ruth the Moabitess? When she has forsaken father and mother and brothers and sisters and land and people. And when in her own heart then she has to say, no, I am not like unto one of thy handmaidens. I am a Moabitess, I am standing on the outside. But oh, could I yet also come on the inside? Thy people, my people, thy God, my God. Oh, did Rahab and did Ruth enter in? They certainly did. They certainly did. But how does it go in the life of that people when they will enter in? We see that in our second thought, what it means to strive to enter in. Why does the Lord Jesus say that? Why does the Lord Jesus say strive? What does that mean? To strive, that means, that speaks about a contest. A contest. To strive, that speaks about a great struggle. One against another. Just as though we are in a battle, just as though we are in a warfare, to strive. Actually, the word means to be at pains, to be in a great agony, to strive. There is much strife in the world. We read of the herdmen of Gerar, and they are striving with Isaac's herdmen. That hasn't stopped. Not to this day. Man is striving. He is striving for so many things in this world. What are we striving for, parents? What are we striving for, young people? Man is striving. Only look about us, all over in the world, and only look within our own hearts, then we see what man is striving for: all the riches, all the honor, all the prosperity, to get further, further, further in this life, to come higher in this world. Striving, striving at pain, in an agony. But how much strife is there to enter in unto the kingdom of God? The first thing that the Lord Jesus does is that he takes away a notion that this is an easy matter. That it is just an easy thing to enter into the kingdom of God, as if we can come into that kingdom without any difficulty. Just as if we can put this off even to the end of our life. Because when we will become old, then we have time enough. Then we will enter into that kingdom. No, the Lord Jesus says. He says it is just the opposite. He says it is through much tribulation. He says when we will enter into that kingdom, then we ought to sit down and count the cost of entering into that kingdom. He said to enter into that kingdom, then you are going to have to hate father and mother and sister and brother and all that is of this world. That to enter into this kingdom, then you are going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross to follow him. Oh, there is no strife. There is no striving in this world as that strife of those who are striving to enter into the kingdom of God. And why is that strife so difficult? It is so difficult because there is a great enemy. And this enemy has one purpose. That enemy that is seeking to keep a man out of this kingdom, that he may prevent him from entering in. Who is that enemy, boys and girls? You know who that is. That is the devil himself. And there is, young people, a so-called Christianity in our world that completely discounts the difficulty of entering into that kingdom. What do they say? They say that battle that is soon over. And when that battle is over with myself, then I am in that kingdom. Now I need not anymore to concern myself with me, but now I have to go to the mission field. Now I have to be concerned about other people because now I am in that kingdom, and now I need to be a means that I may get everyone else in that kingdom. Thus, that matter is easy. That matter is finished. Is that what we read in the Word of God? No, we read in God's Word that it is a church militant. A church militant. And the church militant remains a church militant until when? It remains a church militant until the day that that last breath is taken. And then they become the church triumphant. And if it is a church militant, what that means that it is a church that has enemies. It is a church that has not yet experienced the full victory in this battle, in this warfare. And Satan, he is attempting every moment yet to keep that people out of entering in. That was his purpose with our first parents. Then he laid before them that awful temptation, ye shall be as gods. Or what was his purpose? That he would keep them finally from entering in. And he came with those temptations even unto the Lord Jesus Christ himself, setting the whole world before the Lord Jesus. If thou wilt only bow down to me, I will give it all to thee. Oh, when the Lord would sin but once, when the Lord would bow to him but once, when the Lord would concede to him but once, then it will be so completely lost. And then there shall be no one in the whole world that shall ever enter in again unto the kingdom of God. Oh, that Satan, he is busy not only with Christ, but that Satan is busy with the whole world. He is busy also with God's own children. That if it were possible, he might deceive even the elect and keep them also from entering in. And that Satan, he has an accomplice. He has a friend. He has one to help him. Who is his helper? That is our heart. That is his helper. Because we have a heart that has gone along with him. We have a heart that has said yes to him. It is not so easy. It is not so difficult now for Satan. Because he has an easy prey. He has a willing people. Of their own nature, to follow all the ways of temptation that he is laying before them. Man in an active rebellion. He is not so ready just to receive that salvation that is in the Lord. No, he is standing as a Pharisee. Are those Pharisees ready to agree with the Lord Jesus, to believe in the Lord Jesus? They are not. Oh, Satan is an enemy, but we have a great enemy even within our own heart. There is a third enemy, that enemy that is all around us every day, because the Lord Jesus says to his church that he does not pray that they should be taken out of the world, but that the Lord would keep them from the evil. That means that that enemy that is surrounding them every day, the enemy of the world, And that world, what is he doing? He is drawing. Do you ever feel that? The drawing of this world. Not so difficult for the world either, is it? Because this heart of mine, and that is in such agreement also with the world. This is the way that I love. All man has everything congregation against him. Satan, the world, and his own heart. Man has everything against him to keep him from entering in. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, strive. Strive to enter in. He says, if a man will ever enter in, it is going to be only by a great strife. That is why the Lord Jesus says, I did not come to send peace on the earth. No, but I came to send the sword. I came to set a man at variance with his father, and a daughter with her mother, and the daughter-in-law with her mother-in-law, and so on. Why? Why? Because a separation is necessary. If we are going to enter in unto the kingdom of God, that means that we must come out of the kingdom of Satan. There has to be, because the Lord Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. And now if we will come out of the kingdom of Satan, do you think that that is something that will be without strife? Does Satan just let go? Say, go, go, it's okay. Satan does not just let go. The people do not just let go of Satan. Children, the Lord Jesus cast the devil out of that lunatic boy. What do we read? That the devil tried to kill him. Thus there will be a great strife, because Satan is not just giving over his prey unto the Lord again. No, but if Satan could slay us, that we would never enter into the kingdom of God, then he will do it. And how is it from the side of the people? Or where is now that man whose affections are completely severed from all those enemies, even after received grace? How was that in the life of Solomon? Was there then no strife? Is there not an old man that continues along with that new man? Strive to enter in at that straight gate. What is that? That is a very narrow gate. A straight gate. And that word straight, that is complementing, that is standing with, alongside, and increasing that word strive. They are going together. Strive to enter in at that straight gate, at that narrow gate. Elsewhere, the Lord Jesus says, straight is that gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And he says, few there be that find it. If that gate is now so narrow, then it is a gate that is hard to find. Hard to find. Is that so in our life? And if that way upon which a man must walk is so narrow, then it is difficult to walk upon that narrow way, to stay on that narrow way. But now what is over against that straight gate, that hard to find gate, and that narrow way hard to walk upon, what is now over against it, the Lord Jesus says, he says it is a wide gate. It is a broad way. That means that it is very easy to find and it is very easy to walk upon. These two things are over against one another. The straight, hard to find gate and a wide, easy to find gate and easy to walk upon way. That is the reason that the Lord speaks about striving. There are 1,000 ways to go lost. There is only one way. One way to be saved. And that one way that is directly opposed to the way of my flesh. World says, doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something, that's good enough. You hear it, young people, university. As long as you believe something, everyone needs something, they need some comfort in this life. It is not true. It is not true. There is one name. One name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. You say, if there is one name, and that one name that is now published over the length and breadth of this whole world, why is it then that so few are saved? That is true. That one name that is more and more published over the whole world. But what now do we read that the Lord Jesus says? When that Son of Man shall come again, he says, shall there be found faith on the earth? Thus, how is it that a man enters into the kingdom of God? How? It is through faith. We read, they entered not in because of what? Of unbelief. Thus, it is by faith that a man enters into the kingdom of God. How many kinds of faith are there? Our children know. Historical faith, miraculous faith, temporary faith, and through saving faith. By which of these does a man enter in? Only by the last. And so we see that that gate, that way that is becoming increasingly narrower and narrower. But now that great question that is not involving this whole world. That great question that is involving you is involving me. Let us sing. Psalter 72, 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face, my heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. Let's sing only stanzas 1 and 4. 1 and 4 of Psalter 72. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. How is a congregation in our own life? Strive. That is the word that the Lord Jesus uses. Strive is the command of Christ. What a great responsibility is laid upon everyone who hears the word of God in this world. Then the Lord does not just say to us, read the Bible after you eat and say a prayer, read a good book by times. No. No, the Lord says, strive. The Lord says, be at pains. The Lord says, be in an agony. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That is the way that the kingdom of God is received. What did Jacob do? Jacob, we read, wrestled. He strove with the Lord. No, that he did not do that in front of everyone. No. No, he did that in the dark. He did that in his secret chamber. That is the way that he received the blessing. Is that also our practice? Or what do you think? Do you think that it is striving? We read the word of God, and then we go on and we continue in all the ways of the world. Is that striving? To serve God and mammon at the same time, is that now the strife of God's true children? Does that man desire the favor and the communion with God who is not able to depart from the ways of sin? Does a man go through the straight gate and carry with him all the customs and fads and all the entertainments and all the ideas that are in this world? We can all have a little religion. That is easy. Religion is easy. But to strive is not the choosing of you, and it is not my choice. Our choice that is to make all kinds of excuses. Or is it different with you? Paul, he says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not yet resisted unto blood. You have not yet resisted sin even to your death. But is not this what the Lord Jesus commands? But how worthy then, and how precious must be that object in our sight if a man will come so to strive in his life? Or is it not certain, is it not sure that we go lost because of our own fault? Is that not certain? We have not the least desire to enter into the kingdom of God. Not the least desire. That is why we go lost. Does not the word of God testify against us? When does this become the practice? When does it truly become the life of a man to strive, to enter in? It becomes his practice. It becomes his life in the day of his new birth. When the grace of faith is planted in his heart, that faith by which a man is entering in unto the kingdom of God. And it is this faith that begins to strive. Why? Because it is this faith that believes. It believes what? It believes that I am without. And it desires that I may come within. And so it begins to strive. What do you find the Ethiopian eunuch doing? What was he doing? As he was riding in his chariot, we find that he was reading. What was he reading? Was he reading fiction or a novel? I think that trash did not exist, young people, at that time. That worthless, time-wasting reading. What was he reading? He was reading the Bible. He was reading the Holy Scriptures. You say, they are so difficult. I don't understand them. Did he understand them? He did not. Did he have someone to explain it to him? He did not. And what did he do? He kept reading. Why? He was at pains. He was in an agony. He was without. And he could not remain without. But he needed to come within. That is now the strife of that new life. Do you also know something of that strife? What did David say? He said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." Did you ever thirst? We don't know what thirst is. We have the smallest pang and we have something to drink. We don't know what it is to thirst. To thirst is to strive. When I thirst, then I lack something. And I lack something that I need to have because it is my life. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, for His favor, for His communion. Is not this that striving that the Lord Jesus is speaking about? Do we know the smallest part of the strife that is of that new life? How was that for Esther? How was that for her? Did she just enter in? She went unto the king. She told him all her heart. No. Does it go just like they say nowadays? Well, we call God our Father. We are His children. We address Him as such. We receive. No. It is a lie, young people. It is to the destruction of your soul. There was a struggle. There was a strife. Why? Because the king, he had not called me in. And she had feared to go in unto the king. But she could not stay out. And why could she not stay out? Because death that pursued her. Death pursued her and it pursued her people. And how is it for that people then? And how is it then for that true faith when that faith does not receive an answer right away? How is that? Well, how was that for that woman and the unjust judge? When he answered her not for a while, did she then go away? Did she then cease? All does that faith take no for an answer? Or does it strive? Or is it in an agony? Or is it at pains? And shall not God avenge His own elect who cry day and night unto Him though He bear long with them? Strive. Strive to enter in at that straight gate. Oh, what a strife is that life of faith. Because in its essence, sure, yes. But in its exercise, various. How was that for Peter? Oh, yes, he may go forward and he may walk upon that. But soon there are waves. Was there not strife? And what does that faith do in that fear? Then it cries out, "Lord, save me." What does the Bible call faith? Bible calls faith a cleaving. What did Ruth do? She clave. She clave unto her mother-in-law. She did not let her go. And why did she need to cleave unto her? Because of everything that came against that faith. That she would not enter in. When it was heard by her, "Go, return. Return to thy people. Return. Go back again to thy gods. Look, behold, your sister-in-law. She has gone back to her people. She has gone back to her gods. Return thou after her." Or was there no strife in the life of Ruth? When the Lord is refining,
refining that faith as silver is refined, when he is trying it even as gold is tried. Strive to enter in at that straight gate. Oh, how straight is that gate? And how narrow, narrow is that way that leadeth unto life? Oh, is there then any man in the whole world that is in his own strength able to strive even unto the end that he might enter in? Oh, is Christ crucified precious to our soul, to a carnal soul? Is Christ crucified precious to historical faith, to temporary faith? Will not a man with all his religion, with all that he has done, will not a man in the very end turn away in a rage with Naaman? Will he not say, are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? Oh, is there anything? Is there anything beside a true, saving, spirit-wrought faith that is able to see a man through all the strife that he may finally enter in? And after that grace is received, or is it not only the upholding hand of the Lord that is preserving that people in that strife? Was the bride striving? Then the bridegroom came, and he is knocking, open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Is she striving? Oh, does she? Has she not put off her coat? Has she not put off her shoes? It is only because he will never forsake the work of his own hands that we see her, she is rising up again, that she may seek her beloved. Congregation, strive. Strive, be at pains, be in an agony, to enter in at that straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. King Saul, he did not need the Lord his whole life. That is you and that is me. He did not need the Lord his whole life. And in the end, he sought, and he was rejected. Will that now also be our case? The Lord sanctify his word and give us to know this strife, that we may work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, speak the word only, and we shall be healed. O convert us. Then we shall begin to strive. But all the work of men from our side that will fail in the end, or that which is from thee, that will continue and that will bring us through. Look on us in mercy. Forgive our many sins. Bring us safely to our places. And with desire in thy house again this afternoon, for Jesus' sake, amen. 439 in the third stanza. Whom have I, Lord, but thee on high?
none else on earth can satisfy. But thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for thee my troubled heart is burning. And what follows in the third stanza of Psalter 439. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. blessing.